RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from Spring 1949. The City of Dreadful Night. The 153rd Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery. Specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The City of Dreadful Night. Chapter 1. Murder at High Speed. The Blue Moon was in an ideal location for the type of business conducted there. On the outskirts of the city, it was back from Highway 45 and masked by tall poplar trees. There was a good-sized parking space for cars, a hot orchestra, and soft and hard drinks. This was no cheap roadside nightclub. The cover charge ran to $2.50 after 9 o'clock. And the dinner minimum was $3. As a result, many of the cars parked outside the low building were in the expensive class. A wide-angled blue spotlight bathed the front of the sprawling one-story structure, the color which gave the place the name of Blue Moon. Inside, the dance floor was crowded, and so was the bar. The annual high school dance was going on, but there were other customers, too. A tall, lanky boy draped himself over the bar and said, "Rye." The bartender gave a loud laugh. "Bob," he said, "you know better than that. Beat it and don't come back until you're legally old enough to drink. What's the matter with you kids, anyhow?" The boy, Robert Covert, had a thin, sensitive-looking face, and his long blonde hair was combed straight back. There was a slight wave in it that nothing seemed to iron out. He suddenly slapped the bar hard, sneered, and called the bartender a name that would have gotten him a broken jaw if he had been any older. Then Robert Covert drifted away from the bar and went outside. He stood in the doorway overlooking the parking space at the rear, glanced at the jalopy in which he had driven out. It was about 15 years old, without a top. One door was missing, and so, he mused, were two or three of the six cylinders. Robert Covert decided that the world was all wrong. His father had money, a good job, and could well afford his son a fast, sleek roadster instead of this flea-bitten piece of junk. Bob kicked at the door sill. A willowy girl, holding tight to a young man's arm, smiled up at him impishly, and Bob squirmed even more. Not so long ago, Marva had been his girl. She still would be if he had a new coupe like Paul Hanley, to whose arm she was clinging. Bob was scowling darkly when two other boys joined him. All three strolled off, but not far from the parking space. Bob Covert eyed a powder-blue Lincoln with its top down, and appearing even bluer than it was in the blue spotlight.
"Cheapus, what a wagon," one of the other boys said. The third whistled. "I bet that bus would do better than 100.
Bob Covert started to smile. That was it. The whole world was against him, but he could still do what he wanted to do. A bartender who knew his age refused him a drink. His father refused to buy him a good car.